How some trade is quite literally drying up on the Panama Canal. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. The Panama Canal has extended restrictions on vessels as it battles its ongoing drought. A few weeks ago, the Panama Canal Authority limited the number of vessels authorised to pass through the waterway to 32 each day. It's also limited the amount cargo ships can carry. Maritime firms complain this adds delays and extra fees, inflating shipping costs. The BBC's Roger Hearing asked the Deputy Administrator of the Panama Canal, Ilia Espino de Morata, why the restrictions had to be introduced.
We've had these restrictions every dry season, maybe not to this level, depending on the rainfall of the rainy season. The problem is this dry season has been very extended, so that 44-foot draft that we're allowing the ships to come with right now might extend beyond the traditional time. So it looks like the extended dry season will impact that. The draft will not recuperate as fast as in other summers.
Okay, and the effect will be that that they will restrict the number of ships that can go through, presumably. What sort of scale of that will there be?
Okay, normally we transit between 31 and 38 vessels per day. That's our range, depending on the reservations and the queue. Right now, we're on purpose limiting to 32 per day average because we want to make sure that we have enough water stored for when the next dry season starts, because the rain has decreased so much and the lake is not recuperating as fast. If we continue putting the same amount of ships as before with the 44-foot draft, then we will not be able to accumulate water. If rain recuperates to more favorable patterns, then we might increase those 32. But right now, until we see how the weather behaves, we're limiting 32 vessels per day, guaranteeing a 44-foot draft, which is still a competitive draft.
Just give us a sense of the cost of that. I mean, in monetary terms, how much are you going to lose?
Between $200 and $300 million it's what we anticipate we could lose next fiscal year compared to this year.
And I guess, just to fill me in on the practicalities of this, because I suppose people looking at a canal who don't know anything about the canal would say, well, you've got a sea at one end, a sea at the other, and a link between the two. Surely that isn't affected by land water levels. That must only be affected by sea levels.
Well, actually, it's not, because the Panama Canal is a water elevator, basically, that brings the ship from one ocean up through the mountain range, through an artificial lake, and brings them down on the other end. So Pacific and Atlantic are pretty much at the same level, but we raise the vessels from sea level 27 meters above sea level through the mountains and then bring them down. So we depend 100% on rainwater and river flows to be able to hold enough water to make this water elevator function. And we function by gravity. We don't have any pumping. So everything that falls from the sky gets dammed into the lake, and then opening and closing valves and gates, that water flows down into the ocean, putting ships through.
So do you think with those measures, you will be able to more or less solve the problem? You'll get to a point where you can keep a constant, regular number of ships going through without these sort of problems?
Absolutely. That's the forecast. That's the plan. And we're targeting horizon of 2075. So we want to ensure enough water. The canal right now, it's operating at 70% capacity. So it's not like we need to double capacity. So that 30% increase with the project that we're thinking about, we should guarantee enough water. What's important here is it's not only the ships transiting through the canal. We also provide water for about 50% of the population of the country. So it's securing water for both potable water usage and transit of vessels through the canal.
Ilia Espino de Morata, Deputy Administrator of the Panama Canal there. Now, let's do the numbers. Asian markets didn't start off too well. Investors are worried about continuing higher interest rates in the US, and Tencent, the big Chinese tech company, reported weaker than expected results. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index is flat. Now, Burger King says its tomatoes in India are on vacation as the country battles food inflation. McDonald's and Subway have also recently dropped the ingredients from their menus. Experts say crop damage due to bad weather conditions have caused a shortage. Here's the BBC's Katie Silver.
Tomatoes, interestingly, have become a really area of high inflation in India. So we've seen, for example, as I say, Burger King removing tomatoes from their their burgers, saying that it because of the unpredictable conditions and the quality and supply of tomato crops. We also saw the McDonald's do this as well as Subway earlier this week. Now, there's been crop damage due to bad weather conditions causing a shortage in the market, but India's food inflation at the moment is at its highest level in about 3.5 years, and prices for essentials have skyrocketed, particularly, for example, when it comes to the tomato. Currently, they've hit a peak at about 250 rupees, so that's about $3 per kilo. The monsoon rains, as I say, disrupting the crop and supply chains. So they've even had to start importing some tomatoes from neighbouring Nepal.
Katie Silver reporting. All-inclusive holidays are growing in popularity, and in recent years, providers have been taking notice. In fact, the bosses of the two of the world's biggest hotel chains, Marriott and Hyatt, told me they're expanding their offerings for customers who want everything catered for. But first, here's Claire Irvin, head of travel at the Times of London.
Over the past few years, there's been a huge uptick in much more upscale, boutique-y, all-inclusive deals. They've kind of gone from being a sort of poor cousin, if you like, to trending on TikTok.
Marriott, the world's biggest hotel chain, first got involved in 2019, spying an opportunity for a luxury brand. Brian King is president of Marriott in the Caribbean and Latin America.
You know, I look at Generation Z, Generation X, and I call them the subscription generation. Mm. They love subscription models, whether it's meals that are prepared in a box or whether it's your Amazon Prime or Netflix video. You pay once and you're done. You don't have to worry about it.
Marriott has now done a string of deals, rapidly expanding its number of all-inclusive hotels, and other major chains are doing the same. Hyatt spent $2.7 billion on the Apple Leisure Group in 2021, making it the world's largest all-inclusive player.
We began in the all-inclusive space back in 2013.
Mark von Drasik is Hyatt's chief commercial officer.
We know that all-inclusive travel really resonates with many different types of guests, and I think that's clear from the strong performance of the Apple Leisure Group. We knew that there was a lot of demand and a lot of interest in the product because we had a toe in the water on that for the last several years.
Critics argue these holidays hurt local economies, sucking cash away from bars and restaurants. But both Mark and Brian say travellers are still hungry for experiences.
There was a long time, I think, when people went to all-inclusives, they just stayed behind the gate. Mm. So now I think it's different. They're exploring the local markets and the local countries more. So we look at the business mix, where the customers are coming from, how they spend their time, and that's how we design the model for the guests.
Many of our guests want to experience the local community. Well over half of the folks who travel take part in excursions. You know, the Inclusive Collection resorts, in fact, continue to make an effort to locally source the products that they use, which also is a strong effort to support the destinations that they operate in.
Despite the criticism, the biggest hotel chains on the planet see this as a priority. So expect the continued rise of the all-inclusive. And finally, there were big lines outside Bank of Ireland ATMs after a technical glitch meant that customers were able to withdraw large sums of cash, often bigger than their bank balances. The bank says people will have to pay the money back, but one man told the Irish Times newspaper, "I don't know if I'll get away with it, but it's worth a shot." I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening and have a great day.